Greetings in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope. I'm Nathan Jones, an evangelist here at Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're going to explore the topic Israel and end time technologies in biblical focus. But first, let me ask you a question. Did you know that the Bible is just filled with technology? Agriculture, for instance. Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." In textiles, Genesis 3:7, they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Bible has weaponry, Genesis 3:24, a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. They also had tools. Genesis 4:2 says, "Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil." There was also construction, Genesis 4:17. Cain was then building a city. We also have mining in Genesis 4:22. Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Shipbuilding, Genesis 6. "So make yourself an ark of cypress wood to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. They also had fermentation, Genesis 9. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard, and when he drank some of its wine, well, we know he got drunk. They also had medicine in the Bible, Genesis 50. Joseph directed the physicians in his service to embalm his father Israel. Even the ancient Israelites had the wheel, Exodus 14:25. He made the wheels of their Egyptian chariots come off. We also have writing, Exodus 17:14. The Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll." And they had tent making, Exodus 28. "He has filled him with the Spirit of God with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts for the making of the tabernacle." You find craftsmanship in Psalm 150, harps, lyres, lutes, trumpets, horns, flutes, pipes, tambourines, bells, cymbals, all musical instruments. The Bible records since the most ancient of times, humanity has practically applied knowledge to fix their problems and make things. This fixing of problems and making things is where we get the term technology from the Greek technologia. Not only did the ancient Israelites in the Bible note the advent of so many of history's foundational technologies, but modern-day Israelis continue to astound the world with their technological innovations. Did you know that although the Jewish people are only 0.2% of the world's population, Jews have been awarded 24% of the Nobel Prizes in science and medicine? And similarly, while Jews account for only 2% of the American population, they have received 37% of U.S. Nobel Prize awards in these fields. Author Avi Jorish, in his book, Thou Shalt Innovate, How Israel Ingenuity Repairs the World, noted that the country has few natural resources, a small population, and enemies galore, but Israel still managed to produce more startups than Canada, India, Japan, Korea, and the United Kingdom combined. And the source credited for Israel's innovative spirit? Joris believes it comes from their faith. He notes, "Israel, I have come to believe, is a nation with the soul of a synagogue, a country where Jewish prophetic tradition, whether consciously or unconsciously, has created a remarkable culture of innovation that is being marshaled in large part to solve the world's most formidable problems. This Israeli fascination with inventing new technologies to solve the world's problem, he credits to the prophet Isaiah's calling on the Jewish people to act as a light unto the nations, Isaiah 42:6. He notes that we are partners with God, that we share a responsibility in spreading morality and justice around the world. In other words, according to Jorish, when a person places their faith in God, one will see that repairing the world has become one's defining purpose. Now, whether one agrees or not that faith in God leads to technological innovation, the Jewish people sure seem intent on proving Jorish's assertion. Here are just a few examples of Israeli innovation. One, let's look at medicine. For instance, the sniff phone, the device that can actually smell disease. Or the ReWalk, a battery-powered exoskeleton. The pill cam, a swallowable medical camera. The flexible stent, it opens up the arteries to treat coronary heart disease. They invented the MyEye, eyeglasses that read to the blind. The Nerivio, a migraine zapping wearable device. How about the Taito Home? It's a handheld examination device. You can examine yourself. They also created the Ambule Cycle, an ambulance slash motorcycle. They created the Rebiv, a multiple sclerosis drug. They also created the emergency bandage, controls massive amounts of bleeding. Not only medical, but the Jewish people have created much software. For instance, the firewall. That's the original protection against malware, and Israelis made it. ICQ is the first global instant messenger. The Israelis created instant messaging, and they also created the first USB drive. It was called the disk on a key. When it comes to agriculture, the Jewish people are ahead of the curve as well. Netafim is a desert-friendly drip irrigation system. It made the desert bloom to life again. They also have WaterGen, which is a drinking water produced out of thin air. They also created what's called the grain cocoon. It stores grain and keeps out bugs and helps the crops harvest last longer. They created this one called the Econcrete. It's a sustainable concrete for constructing ecologically active infrastructures in marine environments. Also comes, Israelis done a lot of different inventions when it comes to travel. For instance, they created the Mobileye, which is a tiny camera placed in cars and it alerts drivers of different hazards. They also created Waze. If you use Waze, it's a real-time traffic information, and over 50 million people are using it. They even created the Aviation Aircraft. It's the first all-electric commuter aircraft. Israelis have created great strides in robotics as well. They created Temi, which is the world's first intelligent mobile personal AI robot. They've also created LEQ, a tabletop robot aimed at helping the elderly stay connected to family and friends. And the Israelis, of course, are ahead of the curve when it comes to military as well. Their most famous invention, the Iron Dome, is an anti-missile shield that protects the country from incoming missiles. Unless you're a toddler playing with your mother's Android, you have enough history to look back and see that technology has changed a lot, a whole lot, over the last few decades. Let's not even talk in decades, but in just a few years. Remember that for thousands of years of human history, life remained pretty much the same. Sure, every 300 years or so, the world eked out a technological innovation that revolutionized the world, moving humanity from, say, the Bronze Age to the Iron Age. But for the most part, limitations in travel left most inventions cordoned off to a tiny corner of the world. But then, AD 1454 finally arrived, and the German goldsmith Johannes Gutenberg released the very first mobile, reusable type press. At last, knowledge could be mass copied onto paper and be distributed far and wide. The age of the printed book revolutionized the world, and Gutenberg started with the font of all knowledge, the Bible. Were you surprised to learn from your history classes that the most world-changing technologies were invented in the last 150 years or so? And as we got closer to our own day and age, how each technological discovery came about faster and faster and faster, and how each grew more and more and more powerful as one invention was built on top of another on top of another. This increasingly rapid acceleration of technological discovery has been called the exponential curve. Well, let's just look at one exponential curve of computers, for instance. The old joke is, how do you know when your computer is obsolete? The answer? When you take it out of the box. That's not too far from the truth, though. Computer companies tend to double computer processing speeds every 18 months. Known as Moore's Law, this is just one manifestation of the greater trend in how all technological change happened to be occurring at an exponential rate. By 2023, computers are expected to possess the processing speed equivalent to the human brain. And by 2045, in a mere quarter of a century, Moore's Law predicts we will possess computers with the computational ability equivalent to the entire human race. The exponential curve is not just limited to computers. Other technologies in biomedicine, space science, chemical engineering, human engineering, and all the other sciences have been climbing faster and steeper up their own exponential curves with each and every passing day. It's expected that in the next 5 years, the world's technology will be 32 times more advanced than it is today. The exponential curve in all areas of technology reminds me of another exponential curve, one Jesus described in the Bible. The apostles once asked Jesus, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered by providing 10 signs to look out for that would reveal to us when his second advent would be upon us. A marked increase in false prophets and false messiahs, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, plagues, fearful events, signs in the sky, the persecution of Christians, and the world's focus on Jerusalem would encompass the first 9 signs, with the 10th sign invoking the unnatural disasters that will directly precede the Messiah's return. Jesus added that these signs would increase in frequency and intensity, much like a woman's birth pains, the closer we came to his return. Exponential curves become, in and of themselves, their own sign that marks the advent of the Messiah's return to this earth. Well, how do we know the end times Jesus prophesied are upon us, and that he will be returning soon? One of the surest ways we can know is through the incredible end time sign of technology. God has revealed in the Bible that when certain century-old prophecies concerning future technology, especially those technologies that exponentially increase knowledge and travel, become a part of everyday life, then the final days of this age leading up to Christ's millennial kingdom will have at last come upon us. The long-ago prophesied technology that we today now take for granted prove that Jesus is returning soon. Let's at last take a look at where the technological exponential curve is leading us. Let's look at the signs of technology revealed in the Bible that point to the fact that we are now living in the end times and which indicate that Jesus will soon return. The following are, I believe, 9 of the most prominent signs of technology. Sign number 1, knowledge. The first sign is the sign of knowledge, and not only does this sign stand out particularly as the most revealing out of all of the technological signs, but it also provides the foundation that the others in the list build upon. We find the source text for this prophecy in the book of Daniel. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Daniel had been listening across many chapters to an angel pronouncing a mind-blowing message from God. Through the angel, God revealed that the rise and fall of great empires, leading eventually to a global empire, led by a world ruler whom the Apostle John would later call the Antichrist. Of course, all these great empires were still future from Daniel's perspective, so he was quite perplexed over all he was hearing, and rubbing his forehead in confusion, he asked the angel for an explanation, and to his dismay, no luck. The angel basically told Daniel that he could never understand these prophecies because too much needed to happen first. This would include a great increase in mankind's knowledge, which would mark the time of the end, or end times. Only those living in the end times and who were wise would at last understand these prophecies and recognize that the exponential increase in knowledge herald the soon return of the Messiah. I mean, have you ever considered that just 100 years ago, all that most people learned throughout their entire lifetime equaled to one Sunday edition of the New York Times? Our ability today to practically consume that same amount of data on a daily basis shows just how far mankind's knowledge has increased in so short an amount of time. Well, what technologies have helped us facilitate the advent of this massive explosion in the growth of knowledge? Well, you probably answered computers, and you'd be absolutely correct. Not only has the exponential curve in all areas of computer technology increased our knowledge to stupendous levels, but computers have aided in all the major scientific discoveries of our day. We don't need to cram all these facts into our brains anymore either, for the ability to easily store and access data means we can continue to learn like we've never learned before in human history. Today's exponential increase in knowledge points to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Sign number 2, transportation. Notice in that same prophecy, the angel told Daniel that beside a great increase in knowledge, many shall run to and fro. This tremendous increase in travel would also occur in the same context, that being the end times. God was revealing that once people began to run to and fro, both farther and faster, that those final years before Christ returned to set up his millennial kingdom were finally upon us. Well, stop and think how many people traveled just a single century ago. Most roads weren't even paved yet, and were traveled along by horse-drawn wagons. People rarely, if ever, left their hometowns. Animal domestication and the early beginnings of decent roads, then bicycles, balloons, boats, and simple automobiles were developing technologies, but they weren't widely received. Since the early part of the 20th century, mankind went on to invent airplanes and jets, and even we've left Earth's atmosphere in rockets and space shuttles. It used to take months for people to travel by boat overseas, but now we travel that same distance abroad in mere hours. In today's world, people are always on the move, just as the angel prophesied to Daniel. Today's exponential increase in travel points to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Sign number three, the mark of the beast. The third sign involves those technologies which will make the mark of the beast the terror of the world. The book of Revelations forewarns, "He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name." Let me provide you with a little context here concerning the mark of the beast. A 7-year tribulation time period is coming when God will be pouring out his wrath upon the world, just as he did during the days of the flood. Revelation reveals that at the midpoint of the tribulation, the Antichrist and the false prophet will set up a system of commerce whereby a person cannot buy or sell unless they've sworn allegiance to the Antichrist. They do this by writing his name or number 666 on their right hand or on their forehead. Well, what kinds of technologies would be required to control the world's commerce? The Apostle John could visibly read the name and number etched on the people who had sworn their allegiance to the Antichrist, so some kind of tattooing is certainly involved. Magnetic inks can store a person's personal, financial, and health information, and then digital readers could scan the ink in order to authorize whether that person is allowed to buy or sell. So maybe an RFID microchip is also involved, embedded in a rice-sized glass case underneath the readable mark. Global commerce also needs a way to collect all that countless terabytes of information, and so it would require the constructing of giant data centers in order to store a planetary population full of data. That data would need to move lightning fast using high-speed internet connectivity, complex e-commerce systems, wireless networks, billion-dollar satellites, and so on. The closest system we have today to the mark of the beast is China's social credit score, which has always been already been instituted in their more populated cities. The Chinese government has positioned millions of cameras everywhere in order to spy on their citizens. Computer algorithms then rate the citizens' allegiance to the government, granting benefits to those who are more loyal and restrictions on those computers deem as not being patriotic enough. Well, just imagine that horribly restrictive system instituted on a global scale. All of these e-commerce technologies, which make today's buying and selling so much easier, are actually all coming together so that the Antichrist can control all of the world's commerce and thereby control all the people under his rule. A lot of fear surrounds taking the mark of the beast, and rightly so. For those who take it, God says, will have lost their hope of becoming saved. But we today should have no fear of accidentally taking the mark, for it will not be instituted until halfway through the tribulation, well after the church has been raptured up to heaven. Therefore, don't sweat chips and barcodes and credit cards. They have nothing to do with the mark of the beast yet. Today's global e-commerce network points to the fact that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Let's look at sign number four now. Evangelism. Sign number four is actually a wonderful sign, for it's a positive one. This sign prophesies that the entire world will be evangelized in the end times. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Well, God wants the church to preach the good news of his salvation to the entire world, and so he's provided us with powerful communication tools for sharing the gospel. Today's exponential curve in communication technology has played a vital role in reaching more of the world for Christ than has ever been reached in the previous 19 centuries. Technologies such as cameras and microphones, televisions and tablets, smartphones and cell towers, communication networks and satellites, the internet and the airwaves, big media and social media, they all work together to form the largest pulpit the world has ever known. And while all these breathtaking technologies are leading people to Christ by the thousands each day, the entire world, as Jesus referred to it, will not all hear the gospel before the rapture happens. That blessing awaits the second coming at the end of the tribulation. Communications technologies will continue to spread to the post-rapture world. In addition, God will send forth 144,000 Jewish evangelists, the two witnesses, and even the gospel angel to preach throughout the whole world. Every person on the planet will be evangelized by the end of the tribulation. God will leave no person without a chance to choose his son and so be saved. Today's communication technologies point to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Now let's look at sign number 5, the image of the Antichrist. It involves the living image of him. And the verse goes, "And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven and earth in full view of men. And because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it could speak, and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed." Revelation 13 reveals that during the tribulation, the Antichrist will order his false prophet to set up an image of himself in the newly built Jewish temple and order the world to worship him as if he were God. This is the same scenario all over again when the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar set up a statue of himself and ordered everybody to worship it. Daniel tells of how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused and so were thrown into a fiery furnace. This is all going to happen again during the tribulation, but instead of chucking people into ovens, the false prophet will rain down fire and incinerate those people who refuse to worship the Antichrist. How will the false prophet make fire fall down from the sky and consume people? Assuming there's nothing supernatural going on, let's look at the technologies involved in producing pyrotechnics. Maybe John was referring to jets or drones dropping bombs or other incendiary weapons. And satellite-based weapon systems, such as a missile or laser system, could simply zap people from high up in orbit. Remember that the Antichrist must use technology because he is a counterfeit. His false prophet will not be a real miracle maker, and so will use today's military technology to destroy people with the touch of a button. What's so peculiar about the story of this image is that John reveals that it was given life. Nebuchadnezzar's statue didn't get up and walk around and sing and dance and all that. It didn't even move. But the image of the Antichrist will appear to be alive. Assuming there's nothing supernatural involved in making the illusion of a living statue, such as the demonic possession of an object, after all, statues still cannot move, they lack the proper joints and musculature. What kinds of technology could the false prophets use then to make an image move? John may have been the very first person to watch television. The Antichrist image may appear on regular intervals on a person's TV set or mobile device, and once broadcast, everyone is expected to fall down and worship his image. Or the image may involve robotic and artificial AI technologies. Well, how about a fully functional hologram? Japan especially has been hard at work developing both robotic and holographic technologies. Why, for years now, one of Japan's biggest pop stars has been Hatsune Miku, who's a fully interactive hologram that sings in live concerts. With the proper Alexa-like technology, the Antichrist's living image, be it a robot or hologram, could fully interact with his adoring acolytes. Today's weapons and robotic technologies point to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Sign number 6. Population explosion. The sixth sign of technology that points to the fact that we are living in the end times involves a great population explosion. Revelation reveals, "The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up to prepare a way for the kings of the east." Prepare the way for what? "The number of the mounted troops was 200 million. I heard their number." And what happens to this army? "They were trampled in the winepress outside the city. The blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as the horse's bridle for a distance of 180 miles. In context, as the tribulation winds mercifully to a close, the Antichrist empire begins to crumble due to a number of rebellions led by various sub-rulers. Just as the Antichrist squashes a rebellion in Africa, he must turn his loyal forces north to deal with rebellion coming from the east. Both armies meet in the Valley of Armageddon, located in northern Israel. While these armies are busy slaughtering each other, they will see Jesus and his armies returning out of the heavens and unite against him. The King of Kings will easily defeat the world's armies just by speaking. The blood from the vanquished armies will flow as high as a horse's head for a staggering 180 miles. By the end of the tribulation, most of the world's population will have been wiped out. And still, these prophesied kings of the East can amass a 200 million man army. This prophecy must have blown John's mind, for in his first century day, there was only 200 million people living on across the whole earth. How then does the human population get so large that, Despite the massive death toll of the tribulation, the East can assemble such a staggeringly large army. How do we have the billions that we now have today? The answer? Medicine. As each successive generation produces more and more people, aided by medicines that greatly reduce infant mortality and keep people healthier and allow us to live longer, we've reached a massive global population numbering nearly 8 billion people. China and India have been able to mount a 200 million soldier army ever since the 1960s, and so could easily do so during the tribulation. The exponential curve strikes again. Today's medical technologies point to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Sign number 7, nuclear weapons. The seventh sign of technology involves the inevitable release of the world's nuclear arsenal. Both the Old and New Testaments describe the destruction of much of the world by a series of nuclear cataclysms. In the evening, sudden terror. Before the morning, they, Damascus, are gone, Isaiah 17:14. In context, Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesied the destruction of the oldest city on the planet, Damascus, by Israel, suddenly and in just one night. How do you destroy an entire city in just one night? Israel will have to use a nuclear bomb. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken, Luke 21:26. In this verse, Jesus prophesied that the horrors unleashed during the tribulation will actually cause heart attacks. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place, Revelation 6:14 through 16. Revelation adds that the kings of the east, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" The sixth seal judgment uncannily describes what a nuclear blast looks like and how the people will hide in caves to escape all the destruction and radiation these bombs will rain down upon them. Another verse, the first angel sounded his trumpet and there came hail and fire mixed with blood and it was hurled down upon the earth and a third of the earth was burned up, Revelation 8:7. The first trumpet judgment describes yet another cataclysm that sounds very much nuclear in nature. Or this one, a third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths, Revelation 9:18. During the sixth trumpet judgment, demonic creatures will be let loose to incinerate millions with their nuclear fire-like breath. And this is the plague with which the Lord will strike all the nations that fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouths, Zechariah 14:12. Zechariah describes what will happen to the Antichrist's army upon the Messiah's return. No nukes may be involved, but the weapon of the Messiah's own words will produce the same effect as the setting off of a nuclear bomb. Many of God's judgments during the tribulation sound like a first century man's attempt to explain a nuclear holocaust. Many believe that the two atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki during World War II have been the only atomic weapons released. But no, in the last 70 years plus, over 2,500 nuclear warheads have been set off in testing. 9 countries have stockpiled an estimated 15,000 nuclear weapons, with 1,800 always standing alert and prepped for immediate launch. The fact that the world hasn't already annihilated itself in a nuclear holocaust proves that God's restraining hand is holding mankind's worst destructive proclivities at bay. But that time will end when God's restraining influence will be taken away along with the church at the rapture. During the first year or so after the tribulation begins, half of the world's population will perish. A nuclear holocaust is indeed about to be unleashed upon the world, and one day soon. The technologies involved in the making of nuclear weapons are the most complex technologies ever developed. Heavy metal and mining and refining, nuclear containment, nuclear plants, submarines and silos for delivery, missiles for deployment, all these super duper advanced technologies have been in development for decades. The world sleeps blissfully unaware of the constant threat of nuclear self-annihilation. Today's nuclear technologies point to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Sign number 8, space science. The 8th sign of technology involves our cutting-edge space science technologies, particularly the International Space Station that we utilize in our attempt to explore outer space. The source verse reads, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations," Isaiah 14:12. Other translations of this Isaiah passage render Lucifer's name as the morning star. During the tribulation, Satan, the morning star, will possess and be worshipped through the Antichrist. Because the earth will face utter annihilation due to God's 21 judgments, as described in Revelation, I've often wondered where Satan and the Antichrist would feel safe and be able to rule unimpeded, insulated from all the disasters ravaging the planet. As the International Space Station orbits over the Earth, it can be best be viewed from the ground during the mornings and looks like a bright star sailing across the heavens. That's led the ISS to be nicknamed the Morning Star. How would one escape a world that is being annihilated and sit safely from on high in order to rule over the world? Most likely from high up in orbit. The 8th sign of technology I consider a tentative sign, though. I have no biblical proof that the Antichrist will rule from up in orbit. But with the space station costing somewhere between $150 billion and half a trillion dollars, the ISS must have more of a long-term purpose than just seeing how earthworms float. Today's space science technologies point to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Sign number 9, limitations. The 9th and final sign of technology in this list actually has to do with technology's limitations. Have you ever considered that our technology has limits? It does. For one, supplies of rare earth metals are running dangerously low. Did you know that the computer, tablet, and smartphone that are surely an arm's length away from you are made of rare earth metals? The metals used to make these advanced technologies, those technologies that we've become so dependent on, can only be found in certain places, and the supplies are quickly dwindling. Nearly 95% of these metals can only be found in hostile countries such as China and Afghanistan. Unless alternatives can be synthesized, our ability to build laptops, cell phones, TVs, you name it, is quickly going to disappear. And once the limited amounts of these rare earth metals run out, so will much of today's technology. Also, are there limits to how far our technology will take us in outer space? It appears, according to the Bible, not very far. The prophet Zechariah prophesied that all the nations of the earth will gather against Jerusalem in the last days. All the nations of the earth are gathered against her. Zechariah 12:1-3. Once Jesus returns, he will defeat the armies of the Antichrist gathered against the city of Jerusalem. And once these armies are destroyed, Jesus will then send his angels to collect every single person and gather them for what's called the sheep-goat judgment. Since all the remnants of the nation will stand before Jesus Christ and be judged, that means there cannot be people living on space stations and lunar colonies and Martian colonies and extra-Earth settlements or safely tucked away on spaceships traveling beyond our solar system. This gathering of every human being against Jesus at Armageddon and then again at the sheep-goat judgment means that humanity will still be confined to the Earth. Our optimistic hope of settling outer space will not be happening, at least not in this age, according to those limits set in the Bible. Technology during the tribulation will have also reached its limit. If 4 prophesied catastrophic earthquakes shake the world apart, what will happen to all the mountains? They will be leveled. What happens to cell towers during earthquakes? They fall over. What happens when solar flares burn the sky and radiation destroys the satellites and interferes with communication? What happens when the oceans are filled with blood and dead sea creatures clog the waters? Ships cannot bring oil and goods to port, and so distribution channels are disrupted. I could go on and on with disaster scenarios, but you know that even in the tamest of rainstorms, our power companies struggle to keep the lights on. Now imagine the whole world ravaged by endless natural, man-made, and divine disasters. That's why I believe that by the end of the tribulation, most of our technology, mankind's last crutch in our own Tower of Babel, will be rendered useless. The prophets indicated that by the end of the tribulation, their survivors will be out fighting with bows and arrows and horses again. Certainly there still must be tanks and other technological weapons of war that I'm sure the Antichrist will protect, but still, God appears to eliminate much of the world's technology so that by the end of the tribulation, desperate people are left with nothing to kill each other but primitive weaponry. Knowledge, travel, the mark of the beast, evangelism, the image of the Antichrist, a great population explosion, nuclear weapons, space science, and now the limitations of our technology, they all today point to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Well, I hope I made my case that the sign of technology, which is merely one of many categories of end time signs, points to the fact that Jesus Christ is returning soon. Knowing this wonderful day will inevitably arrive, how then should we apply this truth to our own lives? Is there an app for that? Well, number one, recognize the times. First, when you have at last accepted the fact that the Lord could return at any moment, and by looking through the filter of the Bible at all these wondrous yet fearful events playing out before us, you begin to recognize the times in which we are living. You'll be comforted knowing that God's got it all under control, that He has a great big plan in place, and that God's children play a vital role in that plan. Life, therefore, isn't meaningless, but purposeful. Christians are called to serve God in these dark times, so serve Him with all our unique talents, gifts, time, money, and experience. And for those of you who haven't yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but now recognize that we're living in the end times, the realization should act like an alarm clock buzzing you awake to the fact that the world doesn't have much time left to it. We are all living on borrowed time. Therefore, embrace the fact that God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, and that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Respond to the Holy Spirit's leading, praying for your heart and faith and repenting, something like, "Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins and be my Lord and Savior." And also, utilize to evangelize. Knowing that our Savior will be returning soon, consider how you can utilize all the great technologies that God has given us to evangelize the world for Jesus Christ. Over half the world is now available at your fingertips, so go, get online, and share the good news about Jesus Christ and His soon return.